Good morning. Good morning, OCM Grace family. I had to step carefully because these are new glasses. You know, when you get to the point that you're wearing bifocals, amen? So I didn't want to fall flat on the face in front of you, so I had to step gingerly. But Pastor, it's a blessing for me to be here with you all as well. And I did miss you all. It's only once this year that I've been here. But my ministry of certain churches that we consider church family, and OCM Grace Church is one of the Donna Batiste Ministries church family. So I want to say good morning to the OCM Grace Church family. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we are still in the midst of the Christmas season, I want to bring greetings as we celebrate and continue to celebrate the incarnation. And we know where in John 14 it tells us that God became man, became flesh to dwell amongst us. And even during this time, we keep in mind that soon after we have finished this celebration, soon we'll be commemorating the crucifixion of our Lord, the resurrection of our Lord. During this time, though, we keep in mind that, as I said, we will be doing that. We, as we continue to celebrate the incarnation, and I use incarnation instead of Christmas, because I want us as church folk to remember the seriousness of Christmas. And so as we celebrate the incarnation, we have to remember that his destiny was that he was born to die for your sin and for mine. So, OCM Grace Church, I greet you and I ask that God would bless you with health and strength for the upcoming year of 2025. Today, I come preaching on the power of obedience. As the Lord led me to this, I thought of two men in the Bible who are my favorite characters. They are perfect examples of God's obedience. I'm not saying others are not, but for me, these are the two that stand out. They are Joshua in the Old Testament and Joseph in the New Testament. However, today I'm focusing upon Joseph, and the scripture reading will be taken from as was just read to us. But in the scripture that was read, I want to key in on some verses. Verse 13 says, when they, meaning the wise men, had come to see the one who was born king of the Jews, and they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Verse 14. So he got up and he took the child and mother during the night and left for Egypt. The other part I want us to read, because today we are talking about the power of obedience, and I'm using Joseph. Verse 19 says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Verse 20, and he said, get up, take the child and his mother to go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. Verse 21 says, so he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. Father, I come before you this morning, O God, praising you and thanking you for your goodness and for your mercy. But God, as I preach today, O God, we are talking about the power of obedience. And the aim of this is to shake us up a bit, but also to help us get prepared for 2025. Because some seated here, the Lord is calling to recapture some things that were lost. So I pray, God, you would have your will and your way. You know, I'm not here to please anybody, not to offend anyone, but to preach forth your word as you have given it to me. So I pray even before I start that your Holy Spirit will begin to do the work in the lives of those who are listening here in the sanctuary and those of you online. What is it that the Lord has for you to do in 2025 and He's calling you to submit? What is a church? Holy Spirit, do your work. Begin to bring it to their minds and spirit. Even the things they're running away from, make it plain this morning. Make it plain, make it plain. Because every single person who have bowed the knee to take Christ as Savior, you called to something. No matter how small it is, everybody, child to the oldest adult, has a task to do to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Whether it's sweeping the floor in the church, that is a task of the Lord. So work now, Holy Spirit. And begin your call, even now. The power of obedience. The question I asked of the text is this. What can we learn from Joseph about godly obedience? First, we're going to look at godly obedience defined. We are going to define what godly obedience is. Secondly, we'll be looking at godly obedience means submission. And thirdly, we are going to look at godly obedience shows maturity and confidence in God. As we delve into the message, we need to understand what is godly obedience. Godly obedience is best defined by looking at what the scripture says about it. 1 John 1:5 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. Basically, what John is saying, if you love God, if you love Jesus, you will obey. John 14:15 says, if you love me, this is Jesus speaking now. Now, Pastor Batiste or Pastor Maxim, if you love me, Jesus says, you will obey my commands. Let me talk about from the Greek what the word obey means. There are two words that are used mainly. One is hapakoe. It means to submit, to comply, to do whatever is asked. The other word is teresete, which means to keep and to stay faithful to orders given. In Matthew chapter 2, it is the second one that's used of Joseph. He was a righteous man, meaning teresete, that he was one who kept and stayed faithful to the orders given. And if you read in the scripture, you would see that he was righteous because he was faithful to the law. Godly obedience means that one stays faithful to the word of God. There may be times one may have to make a decision between two choices, and both are good. If ever there is a decision to be made between two things, and it sometimes it comes down to pleasing man or pleasing God, in godly obedience, one would always choose to please God. Sometimes, pleasing man is easier than pleasing God. And sometimes, people pressure you to obey man than to obey God. But if ever you're in that predicament, your choice must always be to obey God. Joseph had such a decision to make. Would he obey what his mind and what society was calling him to do? Is the right thing to put Mary aside because society said she's a tainted woman? Should he put her aside? Because if he stayed with Mary, He will, his name, his reputation, his future will be jeopardized. Society is saying, get rid of her. She's no good. Why are you going to stay with her? But yet, the godly side of him is saying to do the right thing. That's why he wanted to put her away secretly, to divorce her secretly, because he had the choice to take her before the elders and the town, and she would have been stoned. He had a choice. Which would he do? And he decided, out of love for her, he would put her aside. But guess what? God intervened. And we will see that in the second point. Sometimes you have to make a choice. Are you going to choose for God? Or are you going to choose for man? Listen to what Max Lucado says in The Footsteps of the Savior. He wrote, we are only as strong as our obedience. Remember who you are. You are God's child. You have been bought by the most precious commodity in the history of the universe, the blood of Christ. You are indwelled with the Spirit of the living God. And you are being equipped for an eternal assignment that will empower you to live in the very presence of God. You have been set apart for a holy calling. You are His. We are only as strong as our obedience. Jesus Himself had such a decision to make in Matthew 26, 38 to 39. This is what Jesus said. Then He said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here, keep watch with me. Going a little farther, He fell on His face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. Jesus obeyed when He didn't want to do it. He submitted, He yielded, He obeyed. He did just as God the Father had asked. Obedience defined mean doing just as God said. And this is going to lead us into the second point. But before I go on, I want to challenge you, never please man, but please God. Sometimes people are very angry when you choose God over them or their decision. Sometimes in walking away from certain things, people call you selfish. They will call you crazy. They will call you one of them fanatical Christians because they want you to hold on and to follow the way of the world rather to follow the way of God. Follow society rather follow the way of God. And it even happens in the church. But I beg you, whatever God calls you to do, God comes first. Secondly, we defined obedience. Secondly, godly obedience means you will willingly submit. It doesn't mean that you're a yes man or yes woman when it comes to God. Why do I say that? Let's look at Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 34, it says, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Mary asked for clarification. She wanted to know, how is this wonderful thing going to happen? Remember, she wasn't living in our age and in our time where we can know about in vitro fertilization and all of that. In the day when she was living, this was an impossible thing. She asked, this give me some clarification on how this is going to happen. But I want to say to you in this instance, asking for clarification is not lack of submission to the command of God. She is saying, I am willing, but how is this even possible? Give me some more information. So sometimes in asking God for clarification, people try to make it feel like you're questioning God, you're doubting God, you're challenging God's obedience. No, she was willing, but she just was curious, how is this wonderful thing going to happen? It does not mean that you may not have doubts. Let's consider Joseph in this. And we're going to look at Matthew 18-24. And let me explain this before I read the scripture. Because Joseph was a righteous man, he could not see or understand what Mary was saying, that an angel of the Lord said to her, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Let's read fully what it says. He received a dream, a vision from the Lord. This is how the birth of the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph before they came together, and she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you have to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. It said he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth and gave him the name Jesus. Obedience doesn't mean that you have to be a yes man, or that you may not have doubts. You may not agree. You may not even fully understand what God is calling you to do. You may not even want to be a part of it. But the plan of God, you will willingly submit to the command of God, because though you don't understand, though you don't agree, you want to obey because you love your God. Remember, Joseph was a righteous man called to marry a woman pregnant outside of marriage. She told him what the angel of the Lord said. Now let me talk to you brothers in here for a moment. If somebody you are engaged to be married to, the marriage is on Monday, and she comes and tells you, I am pregnant. Now, how excited would you be? How would you feel? What you gonna go and say to mom and dad? Imagine, back in the day, Joseph being a man of God, a man of standing. And this is what he was had to face. You, like Joseph, I'm sure would feel unsure, lacking full understanding, not wanting to be humiliated and ridiculed in society, or confused. Yet when Joseph heard from the Lord, I am sure Joseph still had his doubts, but he obeyed what God had called him to do. Obedience may mean that you may have to be a yes man. You may, even if you don't want to be, to do the will of the Lord. You may not have full understanding of the situation of what God may be calling you to do, but he's calling you to obey what he has asked him to do. We talk about Abraham. But when God called Abraham, God didn't even tell Abraham where he was going. But Abraham packed up and he went. Obedience doesn't mean that you would fully understand what God is asking you to do. He's not going to sit you down and give you all the bullet points. He wants you to trust him and be confident in him that whatever he asks to do, you will do. But let me say something to you. Be careful of the questioning and doubting. It can cause God to anger. Don't push it too far. When God called Moses, had a long conversation with Moses. Moses saw the presence of the Lord in a burning bush. Moses saw and heard the voice of God. I am that I am. And yet having had all that experience and God calling him to go and be his spokesperson, listen to what Moses said. In Exodus 4, starting at verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, either in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who give human beings their mouths? Who make the deaf or the mute? Who give them sight or make them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak. And will teach you what to say. But Moses said, fighting God again, which is what some of us do. When God calls us, we can talk about all our inadequacies, how we're not qualified, we're too old, we're not smart enough, we're not eloquent enough, we don't have enough money, we can't do it because of this, that, and the other. We're always giving excuses. So even after God said all of that, listen to Moses' response. Pardon your servant, Lord. Meaning, listen here, God. I beg your pardon. Please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, verse 14. And he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can't speak well. He is already on his way to meet you. And he will be glad to see you. Despite all Moses put before the Lord his inadequacy, his inability, and I would even say his fear, he still yielded to God with his inadequacy. Don't wait until you feel adequate. Don't wait until you feel like you're in the right place. Do it. If you're afraid, do it afraid. If you're slow of speech, do it slow of speech. If you right stuff, do it without the right stuff. But God has laid his hands on you. You got the stuff. It may not be fully there yet, but you got the stuff. Did not Moses come into being one of the most eloquent speakers? Read his last speech before he left Israel. It's eloquent from beginning to end. It's not how you start, folks, with the Lord. It's how you finish. All he's asking you is to bring your weak self, your inadequate self, your fearful self, put it on the altar and let God use you. Hallelujah. Amen. God made a way to use Moses, even though he was inadequate. At first, Joseph hesitated, but when he heard from the Lord in the midst of his confusion, he yielded fully to the Lord. Listen, Joseph had a deep encounter with God that changed him spiritually. He was not only a righteous man, a man of the law, he became a man after God's own heart after he had that encounter with the Holy Spirit. Godly obedience defined means doing just what God said. Secondly, godly obedience means willing submission, obeying God even when we do not want to do it, even though we are confused, even if we think we ain't got the stuff. Godly obedience means doing it. Thirdly, godly obedience shows maturity and confidence in God. Let me read some scripture verses. I'm reading a lot of scripture verses because it speaks to it. Matthew 13, 21. When they said the wise men had come to see the one who was born, King of the Jews, and they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When they had gone, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. So Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. He got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up and take the child. Verse 21, God said, get up and take the child. So guess what he did? He got up and took the child. Because Joseph had been a righteous man, the Lord chose him. So when you think you don't have the right stuff, it is a lie from the devil. The devil is a liar. It's a lie from the pit. Because if God chose you and he's asking you to do certain things, it means you got the stuff. You may not have an imperfection yet, but he will do what he needs to do. He may melt you. He may break you. He may mold you and mold you into the man or woman of God he needs to do. But you got to take the first step and go. The Lord chose him. Joseph was in the right space spiritually to come into the presence of God so the angel of God could come upon him and speak to him. It didn't go to everybody else. It came to Joseph because something about Joseph God saw. Because he was that kind of godly man, one who was fully sold out, he was chosen to be used. You hear what I'm saying? Because he was that kind of godly man who was fully sold out, he was chosen to be used. After Joseph had that encounter with the Lord, Joseph went so deep in the Lord that whatever the Lord asked him to do, he got up and did. Immediately, without question, without need for clarification, in spite of fear of his reputation, and he yielded to God that he obeyed at a moment's notice. Let me tell you the power of obedience as we come to an end. Because Joseph yielded to be fully used of God, through him, God was able to fulfill his plans for the incarnation. God chose Joseph because he was made of the right stuff to be used. Obedient believers helps to accomplish God's plans. I'll say it again. Obedient believers helps to accomplish God's plans. Joseph sacrificed everything for God. He knew the cost, yet he obeyed. He lost his reputation in society. He lost his plans for the future, his goals, the dreams he had for his family, and his ability to live his life the way he wanted to live it. My goodness, you got to remember, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, was running around his house. Do you think he ever had a normal life after that? Let me tell you about the power of obedience, because Joseph allowed himself to be used and he took everything that came with it. The Lord used Joseph as the foster father of the Christ and a protector over Mary. Mary was protected from stoning because of his obedience, found a place for Mary to give birth to the Christ because he obeyed. Because he obeyed, the incarnation took place because Christ became man to dwell amongst us. Because of Joseph's obedience, mother and child were protected from death. Because Joseph obeyed, they were protected in Egypt, protected when they returned. Joseph had a home, created a home and a family. Jesus did his ministry. Jesus went on to suffer and die for your sin and mine. Jesus resurrected. Jesus ascended to heaven and now is seated at the right hand, hallelujah, of the Lord. This is the power of obedience. What is the Lord calling you to do as we enter into 2025? Would you take time sometime this week or even today to go before God as we did and ask God, what, Lord Jesus, are you calling me to do? Or even consider why you have not yielded to the call of God in your life. Are you fighting because you need clarification like Mary? Do you not understand and you are fearful of what you may lose like Joseph? Do you feel inadequate and you do not have what it takes like Moses? Trust God. Obey. Come partner with him in reaching the world for Christ. Your obedience has power to bring about God-ordained change on earth. Come on, Pastor talked about those who knocked on his door. If those people didn't obey, and listen, going door to door ain't easy, and it has gotten hard. But somebody swallowed their fear and did it, and look, the man of God is sitting here. Sorry to pick on you, Pastor. But you were very pickable when you gave that testimony. Amen? Powerful. Who knows? Who knows when you go to heaven and God shows your videotape and you see what you have done. Come on, 2025, you got to get it together. Look at the power of obedience, because Joseph and Mary did what they did. We are sitting here today. We are talking about Joseph and Mary, and we are not talking about anybody in that society who ridiculed them, who laughed at them, who put them down. No, no, no. We are talking about Joseph and Mary. But let me close with this. Max Lucado, in Footsteps of the Savior, wrote, yes, I'm reading it again. We are only as strong as our obedience. We are only as strong as our obedience. 2025. Are you going to come to the end of 2025 the way you come into the end of 2024? We're going to be different. We're going to go before the Lord. And we're going to ask the Lord, what is it you're calling me to? You know, sometimes we think, Pastor, they think, oh, God called me to be a pastor. God called me to be a missionary. God called... No, sometimes God may be calling you to send some texts to encourage people. That's not putting nonsense on your Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Put the things of God. Become a social media evangelist. Do something. Good grief. Do something for the Lord. And so we're going to go into a time of prayer right now. Just short, Pastor. Just short. Everybody stand. We are standing to make a commitment to the Lord for 2025. That we are not coming to the end of 2025 the way we came to 2024. And I want to challenge you. Choose one person, one. I'm not asking for two. I'm asking for one. I know overachievers might go for two, but I'm asking for one. Choose one person that you are going to pray for every single day to come to Christ. Just one. Make a commitment to God that I am choosing one person. Listen, if all of us pray for that one person, we have doubled the people in heaven. Amen. Also, I'm going to pray and ask you, it's time to yield to what God is calling you to do. If you don't know, ask him, and believe you me, he will tell you. Come on, Christians, get going. We read of these here who sacrificed their lives, their future for you and for me. Father, I pray right now, asking, oh God, that you would touch your people. And if you're serious about making this commitment to hear God's call, just lift both your hands and say, I'm me. Father, I pray, God, that as they lift their hands, you're saying, God, use me. Use me even more than I'm being used now. And Father, make clear to me your call upon my life. I know it may not be to be a pastor or missionary or something like that. Even if that is it, I'm willing. But God, make it clear to me what you would have me to do. And God, if I'm afraid, help me to do it afraid. If I feel inadequate, help me, like Moses, to do it inadequate. If I feel there may be things I will lose, help me, like Joseph, to do it anyway. All we are asking, God, is give us the strength to do. Lastly, God, I pray for every single person in here that, oh God, that they will take their evangelism person, who they will pray for. If it may even be someone who don't even know they're praying for them, but if they do, can reach out in some way. I pray, God, that in whatever capacity we are on social media, that we become social media evangelists. Pop up a Bible verse. Pop up a passage. They never know who might be helped. So, Father, what we are asking is that we want to go into 2027 or 2025 obedient, ready, on fire to be used. So I ask, oh God, that you would fill each person with new vim, new vigor, new fire, a new touch of the Holy Spirit, oh God, I ask, in Jesus' name. And all God's sons and daughters said, amen.